welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good to get in the presence of the Lord and just let that presence minister to your spirit. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage of scripture that we kind of began a series last week on, really just the peace. We call it just what the scripture says, the promise of the peace that passes all understanding. So we started here in Philippians 4:6. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amplified, and God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And then finally, the good news, God's peace, which is far beyond any human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. So what we're kind of saying is it's kind of an interesting perspective here when you look at the peace of God. You know, there's we know there's the battle of mind, we know we're dealing with stuff, but here we see the Apostle Paul says, and he's saying as we're letting our requests be made known unto God, you can start out in a place of anxiety, pray, and have the peace of God come on the scene and just keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, as we get into worship this morning, you can just sense the presence of God. And you're not necessarily even thinking specifically much other than just being aware of his presence that has a grounding effect in your heart and your mind. But here we see that's the promised peace that we have, that God's peace is what's going to garrison and mount guard over our mind. So we're looking at this morning, what we're calling, you know, the series is the peace that passes all understanding. And we kind of did a flyover last week and a little bit in terms of how it works, how it flows. You know, you start out, you're praying, you're going to let your request be made known, you experience peace, and then we talked about how then you can kind of go general. That's where we were talking about how you let your request be made known unto God, then you got to get out of the kitchen, let him work, and then begin to set your mind on things above. Because you know he's going to answer your prayer, but the way he answers your prayer is going to be a wisdom that's from above. That's why we're told to set our mind on things above. So when he's getting us out of the kitchen, he's not getting us out of the kitchen because he's impatient with us or he doesn't want us there. He just doesn't need our help right there. And so what he does need us to do is he does need us to get into a place where we have ears to hear once he's speaking to us. Because you could be there in the kitchen, he could turn and look at you and tell you exactly what you need and you won't even hear it because you're not tuned in where you need to be. And so there's a process that's involved with this peace that passes our understanding. We kind of did that, again, kind of a quick flyover of those different pieces last week. And what I wanted to do, though, is take a look at just kind of how this all works and flows as we see it put together. As the parallel, I like to stick this together with that 1 Peter 5, because really it's the same thought, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the way the Apostle Paul told the Philippians. This is the Apostle Peter now. He's saying, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And really, that picture of him caring for you is that same picture of the peace that passes understanding mounting garrison over your heart and mind. You see that he's doing some heavy lifting here in Peter's account. He's caring for you as you cast your cares on him. In other words, I've got the care. I'm putting it on his shoulders. He's caring for me. That peace is mounting garrison over my mind. He's doing some heavy lifting here. So again, this is really about the peace that passes our understanding, but we see there are two parts. There's the praying part, we receive the peace, and then we have to let that peace rule. This week, we're going to take a look more specifically at the casting your cares on the Lord part, okay? We're going to get really specific and in the weeds of what we mean by casting your cares and taking those anxieties and really getting them from here over to the Lord, all right? And then next week, we're going to be looking at letting peace rule. All right, once you've cast the cares in the Lord, then you have to let peace rule. But you can't do both at once. You're going to cast your cares on the Lord first. Then his peace that passes your understanding is going to come, and then you're going to let that peace rule. So this morning, as we look at casting our cares on the Lord, we're going to take a look at a few aspects of this. And I just think as we kind of go into the message this morning, some things are going to come to light and really hopefully be clear this morning. So the first aspect of casting your cares on the Lord is this: knowing God wants your cares. All right? He wants your cares. You know, this isn't just something, oh, this is really cool and this is really handy for me. And it's really, no, he wants them. If he didn't want them, we couldn't do this. The only reason we're even talking about this morning is because he's initiated in his word and he said, I want you to cast these cares. It's important to know that when we're approaching that. He wants them. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. You see that? Humble yourselves. Pour out all your worries and stress upon him. Leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Wow, beautiful language that just shows the Lord pulling on us to want us to cast our cares on him. But you'll see one thing, that before you can even cast your cares on the Lord, there's this aspect of humbling yourselves. And that's a big deal. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who are not believers today. There's a lot of people who can't buy into Christianity. Because for them, it's just too simple. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. That's it. All you got to do is call on his name and be saved. I mean, life is complicated. What about the evil that's in the world? What about everything that's going on? I mean, how can you just, you know, fully embrace this? How does this answer all my questions about life and different things like that? You know? And Jesus said, he told us, he warned us ahead of time. He said, before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to pass through a doorway. You're going to humble yourself as a little child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you hear the gospel, you hear a pull of the Holy Spirit, you sense that it is right, you're drawn, and you respond. Even though you haven't answered all the world's problems, you realize you don't have to become a Christian. All I got to do is respond to the gospel. I got to humble myself. What about this? I don't know. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe: Jesus died on that cross for my sins. I humble myself as a child, and I receive that mercy and that forgiveness and that grace. Anybody who's a believer, you had to pass through that. I don't have all the answers, but I believe Jesus Christ died. And all I had to do was call upon his name. It's an act of faith. You are saved by grace through faith, not your great understanding, by faith in what Jesus did for us and the cross and what God did for us in sending Jesus Christ. And so we kind of understand that as believers. We understand how this rolls. We don't know everything, but we trust, we have faith, we believe as we know the Word and we know the Spirit. And again, a lot of what I'm going to be sharing this morning is going to be kind of my journey with this and how the Lord has had to work with me and help me to understand, because you can kind of see the theology pretty quick and clear as we go through these scriptures. But as you're kind of going through the nuances of what it really means to do this, you begin to find out that even though you're born again, you're a Christian, you came through, you embrace the simplicity of the gospel, you still have humanness that likes to cling to the old ways. And so sometimes if we're not careful, and I'm just, again, saying things that I've walked through, as believers, we can almost adopt that same mentality when it comes to casting our cares on the Lord. It's like this, it's kind of, well, that's cool. I love it. It sounds amazing, but it's kind of too good to be true. You know? In the same way the unbeliever would say, this, it's complicated. As Christians, we can say, I got to care, but it's really complicated. I'm just going to cast my care on the Lord? Yep. In the same way, Jesus said, I'd humble myself as a little child and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to humble myself under his mighty hand and cast my cares on the Lord. I want you to see a parallel here. I want you to see an understanding here. I didn't have to understand it all before I could call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. I don't have to understand it all before I can humble myself under his mighty hand and cast my cares in the Lord. It's not too good to be true. He wants those cares. There's going to be an element of faith in this, all right? The same childlike faith that I did when I called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, there's going to be that same element. Humble yourselves. First thing, under his mighty hand, casting all my cares on the Lord. What does that mean? I got cares, but I'm humbling myself under his mighty hand. His hand is mightier than my care. He is mightier than my care. I realize there's something about him. And so I'm not going to necessarily understand everything, but I'm going to do what the Word of God shows me to do. So there is going to be that mentality. This is not too good to be true. In other words, as I'm going to cast my care on the Lord, I'm believing that I'm going to get it cast. Do you believe you're going to go to heaven when you die today? Yes, because you have made that declaration. You have followed the Word of God. There's an assurance of your salvation. God wants us to have an assurance when we go to do this that we can cast our cares in the Lord. All right? I'm not going in there to just spin. I'm going in there to really get some cares cast. All right? I'm doing this in hope. I'm doing this in faith. We'll talk a little about some of the nuances of what it looks like when you do it, but we got to go into it with the reality that, man, God desires to have our cares. This is his plan for us. Matthew 11, this is Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I just love, here's again, Jesus said, "Come to me." You can see God wants your cares. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." We kind of touched on this last week, but when you're full of cares, when you're laboring and you're heavy laden, he wants all who labor and who are heavy laden and who want help from God. This is very important to understand. This is not about good guy, bad guy stuff. If you've been a Christian very long, you've been the good guy and the bad guy. You might have even started out as a good guy and became the bad guy, depending on how you respond to certain things, all right? I'm just using those things loosely. Be angry and sin not. Sometimes we go too far. Sometimes we do things and we cause guilt and pain and shame. We can be heavy laden for a lot of different reasons. But what is he saying? No good guys, bad guy here. He's just saying all who labor and are heavy laden. Are you hurting? Do you want help from God? You qualify. This is important to know because there are times where we're on both sides of this. All we know is we're hurting and I need help. I need relief. I need God's mercy. I need his grace in my life. And so when we're talking about casting our cares, you know, again, Jesus didn't say, "Come on to me, all you good guys, and I'll deliver you from those bad guys." He doesn't. He just says, "Come unto me, all who are hurting, all, and I will give you rest." This is very important. You know, when I say good guys, bad guys, obviously I'm using that loosely, but a lot of times Satan will roar in your head and make you a bad guy or accuse you and make you feel unworthy. And you got to realize that no matter what voices are going on, all you got to do to pass this test, the only prerequisite for this course is, am I hurting and do I want help from God? You qualify. You can cast your cares in the Lord. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation is, God wants your cares, regardless of the context of those cares. He just says, all who labor and are heavy laden. This is just some groundwork that we got to do to even be able to approach this subject. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." We can see, when you think of a little sheep, you know, I guess there's some of the most timid creatures there are, and for a sheep to lay down is a big deal. It means they really sense that they're secure, that they can lay down. And that's what our good shepherd does. He makes us to lie down. In other words, he's going to bring us to a place of that perfect peace. And so what's he do then? He restores our soul. So the first aspect, again, just touching base on a few things real quick here, is that we've got to realize that if we're going to cast our cares in the Lord, that God really wants them. All right? This isn't just something that we, again, hope and want and too good to be true. It's not too good to be true. It's really true. God really wants it. And we're going into this with faith that we're going to cast some cares in the Lord. The next aspect is getting what's in your heart out, okay? And this is really the big one right here as far as talking about casting your cares in the Lord. because there's so many things and so many that can be in our heart. Our mind can go in so many directions. And so what are some of the vehicles that the scripture gives us as far as getting what's in our heart out? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see there's prayer, there's supplication. Again, Peter, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. So let's just define some terms here. What is prayer? Prayer is anytime you're giving a petition that is directly addressing God. When you're praying, you are praying to God. Specifically, you're taking that care and you're addressing God with that care. Supplication is a very specific request. It's a very specific need or want or something that you need from God. It's a specific, okay? That's supplication. I need help. And you can fill in the blank of whatever that help might be that you need from God. Of course, a request is just the thing that you want done. Casting means literally to throw upon or to place upon, okay? So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be expressing some things in prayer, and as I'm praying, I'm going to be praying out those cares and casting them on the Lord. I'm putting the ball from my court into his court through prayer and supplication. Now, as we're talking about cares too. Obviously, there's a lot of different kinds of cares. You can have relationship cares, financial cares, health cares, like we said, failure, maybe consequences cares, maybe somebody hurts you, different things like that, fears, whatnot. There's just so many different varieties that can take the form of a care, all right? And so as we're talking about getting what's in your heart out, it's obviously going to mean something that's a little bit different depending on the nature of your care. You know, if it's a relationship care, it might be a matter of, Lord, I trust you with this person. I have a situation with this person. There's stuff I don't know, and I want peace with this person. And Lord, I just put this person, I cast the care of this relationship over on you. I just pray you care for me as it relates to this relationship, Lord. And this is, you know, that's a very general term where you're just going to cast that care. Or Lord, I need X number of dollars this month. I've got some situations, some needs that I need met for this month. I'm just asking, I'm praying, Father, for this need to be met. And you can just pray, I'm just praying for that specific need. You can call that out. If it's an extra $500 this month, Lord, I pray for that supernatural provision. Now, I'm not casting the care of the responsibility of working and doing what I'm supposed to do, but I am casting the care of that over on the Lord, right? I'm doing what I can do as far as the care of something. That's what he wants. Now, we're going to kind of get into some more stuff along those lines, but it's going to be different for different things. And obviously, if you miss it, you know, the first thing is, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it, but you could be worried. You could be afraid of consequences. I've done what I know to do, Lord, but I'm casting the care of whatever those consequences might be over on you, Lord. I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to dwell about all of, 100 possibilities of what ifs. I'm casting the care of that over on you. So what am I doing? I'm just kind of voicing out prayer and supplication, some different things that would be different kinds of cares, all right? And we're kind of familiar with that, and that's, again, it's still, you know, it may be not the 30,000-foot level. That would be the 20,000-foot level, but we're going to get more closer in, all right? But we want to descend before we get there. So you kind of get an idea. That's kind of what we're talking about, casting cares. I'm taking something as it relates to a specific care, and I'm just letting the Lord know that, and I'm praying it out, okay? The other aspect that we have to realize as we're getting what's in our heart out, okay, is that we are kind of, I don't know what to say. Well, that's what the scripture says, you know, that because of our weaknesses, we don't always know how to pray as we ought. So we kind of pray according to what we do know. If I need a peace that passes my understanding, that means I don't have full understanding. So I'm not praying with full understanding. I'm just kind of praying what I know. I'm just praying what I got. And this is where, as we're praying and as you're kind of identifying whatever that care might be, we got to realize this is also part of it right here. If you need wisdom, Ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. For this reason, we also, since this is, you know, James, Colossians, Matthew. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is Jesus. If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly care, to take lovingly care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? Okay, so as we're going in prayer, sometimes you don't have a crystal clear picture of that perfect prayer of casting your care on the Lord. And so sometimes you're going to just go into that place of prayer and you're just going to say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom in this situation. I need wisdom regarding this relationship. I need wisdom regarding these finances. Wisdom regarding healing, navigating the healing promises of God versus how to be a good steward of my body. What does that line look like as I'm walking it out? I need wisdom, Father God, in terms of how to approach this person on this subject or this situation, Father God. What am I doing? I'm asking for wisdom, and as I'm asking for wisdom, then I'm casting the care of whatever it is that I'm asking wisdom for on that situation. Lord, I pray that I may be filled with the knowledge of your will regarding this situation. I want to be filled. I want to know the mind of your spirit in this matter. I pray about it. I lift it up to you in a prayer request, Father God. And as I'm praying it out and as I'm asking for wisdom on that, I'm taking that care element of that and I'm casting it over on you. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a wisdom that's going to come to address that. But there's a prayer casting, if you will, because that's what the scripture says, through prayer and supplication. We are casting our cares in the Lord. So you're doing that through prayer. You're letting that request be made known, getting the emotional, that emotional side of it, you know, off of yourself. And as we're doing it too, I want to kind of bring a few other things into this. And again, I'm going from experience here as I've walked through some of this, some of my ditches that I've gotten in through the years. So we're called to cast our cares, not hyper-analyze them. Okay? It's fine to, as you got some things in your heart, cares in your heart, a what if for that situation, if there is something that is right there in your heart to kind of pray out your understanding or what you know, that's totally cool. That's fine. I mean, but again, I'm just talking about some stuff I've done. You can go beyond that, beyond your care, and start going out ahead and begin to just think of the 100 things that could happen and feel like I've got to address every possible outcome so that I know that I've fully cast that care on the Lord. All right, somebody tell by your laughs, I'm not the only one here who's done that. This is a lot like a prayer where you're confessing sin. If I'm confessing sin, I don't have to do a witch hunt of all my weaknesses and all my tendencies and all the things that I miss and all the words where I may miss and all. No. What's bothering your conscience, Ed? That's what you confess. That's it. It's not designed to be complicated. We're doing this in the newness of the Spirit. We're not doing it in an oldness of the letter. Same with this. When it comes to casting our cares, we're not doing it in an oldness of the letter. We're doing it in a newness of spirit. In other words, every care is almost kind of like, think of it like an octopus with tentacles. If there's something you're concerned about or you have anxiety about, there's multiple outcomes, multiple things to be afraid of, multiple things to consider. And as you're approaching casting your cares in the Lord, again, like we said, I'm casting the care. I'm not overanalyzing the care. I'm taking the gist in the same way. What's bothering my conscience? Confess that. Be clear. What is it that I'm really concerned about here? What is the big thing here? That's where I'm going to pray wisdom and grace, Father, over that situation. But I'm going to take that as a care, and I'm going to cast that on him. And I'll say, Father, and a lot of times I'll say this too, this is what I know. And if there's anything else I need to know, show me what that is. But I don't have to stop and think about things that I haven't thought about yet. And here's the problem with that. It keeps you in the kitchen. It gives you a reason to stay in the kitchen. Because ultimately, this is going to be an act of faith. It's going to be trust. And at some point, I've got to be satisfied. Now, I pray, you know, God, if there's anything else, show me what that is. But at some point, I've got to say, in the same way I call upon the name of the Lord to be saved without knowing all the answers to all the world's problems to be saved, I'm going to cast that care on the Lord without having to understand all the implications and ripple effects of what could happen. That it would be a heavy yoke, wouldn't it? Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. There's a yoke. This is the yoke right here. It's simply casting that care on the Lord. It's simply through prayer and supplication, letting your requests be made known unto God. It's meant to be a light yoke. It's not meant to be a heavy yoke. It's something that we can do, you know? So as we see this, we begin to realize that, okay, I don't have to overthink this, you know? I need to deal with those issues that I'm definitely, that are kind of front and center, like I would. Like I said, if you're dealing with sin issues and shame, front and center, do that stuff. It's not a witch hunt. Same with casting your care. What is the gist of this? Okay, I know it's bigger than my understanding. I get that. But this is where you're also praying for that supernatural wisdom and grace. Lord, show me what I need to know. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. And I'll tell you, it gives you permission, like we've said about like last week, about how you have intellectual permission. Once I've cast my care, I have intellectual permission to go general. There's also just a permission you get in your spirit when you've taken that and it's like, okay, Lord, there's the situation. I'm asking for your wisdom to know the mind of your spirit in the matter. In Jesus' name, I cast that care on you. Amen. And to have that sense of satisfaction that I've cast it upon him. I've done what he's told me to do by faith. There is a freedom in that without, again, having to overanalyze it and understand everything about it. I'm just getting what's in my heart out. And if there's anything that I need to know, he's going to show me what I need to know about it. But I'm not having to belabor it. Here's another aspect of being in this place of casting your cares. These are a couple scriptures kind of mashed together. Hebrews 12. Philippians 1, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I am fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that you learn too as you just do this, as you come into this Philippians 4, 6 place of prayer, 1 Peter 5, 6, however you want to look at it, you're going to come into this place with the realization that you haven't arrived, okay? I wish I could just give you a quick little ABC. Do A, B, C, and D, and you're just, you know, I can give you some guidelines, some scriptural guidelines, but part of this is growing up spiritual stuff too, okay? In other words, when I'm coming into that place of prayer to cast my cares, it's not like I'm going into a pass-fail exam. You're not going into a pass-fail exam. You don't have to put that pressure on you. But you are in school. You're in finishing school. Your faith is getting finished. You think of finishing school. I'm learning etiquette. I'm learning different things like that. I'm learning the finer points of faith. And this is where you're really experiencing some real cool stuff in fellowship with the Holy Spirit as you're coming into this place of prayer. And God will begin to show you some things. Again, I got some general guidelines. I can cast my cares in the Lord. But God will begin to show you some things too, and he will begin to correct you. This is why it's so important to realize no condemnation, correction. He wants to correct us in prayer in ways that are really training us and developing us in prayer. I know one of the places where I would make a mistake in casting my cares in the Lord, and sometimes some of you guys might know what I'm talking about too, but there are times when you might get it. The captain of your salvation, Jesus, gives you a prayer assignment. And you sense that. It's like an intercessory prayer assignment. You got that assignment from Jesus, and you're going after it, and you're doing the assignment, and you know what it is to pray and intercede, and you're going, and you're going, and you're going. And you get that sense, even as you're flowing in the Spirit, of when there is kind of that release, when there's that lift, when you've completed your assignment. You can get that in the Spirit. You know, you get that sense, you get that release, and it's really cool to be able to do that and to flow that way. Sometimes you're praying for other people, you know, and it might be a situation where you're praying for them, you know, that a prayer request comes in, and you just know that, okay, that's it, that's good, I'm done. But here's where I was needed some finishing school, because when I would come to with casting my cares in the Lord, you know, I'm casting my cares in the Lord, and it's good to get what's in me out, but I was kind of feeling around for this release. I was feeling around for this lift that everything was, and it's not right. It's not a prayer of intercession. It's a prayer of personal supplication. I'm just doing a prayer of faith. That's all. You know, but there's a part of me that wants to stay in the kitchen anyway, right? We gotta deal with that either way. But, you know, I would kind of unknowingly spiritualize it. I'm searching for, if that's real, if when I'm doing another kind of prayer, when I'm praying in discernment and intercessory where God has me. But this is where spiritual people can almost get into an area of depression because they're trying to find a release over that kind of prayer that you don't get over here. And this is where the Lord had to say, Ed, really, you're done. You don't have to find a landing spot here. You really don't in this one. Mr. Pastor Ed, who's used in other areas, you're going to pray a common folk prayer of personal supplication and get out of the kitchen. Okay, yes, all right. That's finishing school. You know, that's where God is by His Spirit. He's going to show you some different little fine points and things. Okay, because, you know, we mess this up all different ways as we're going. Have you ever been there where you go into that, okay, I'm going to Philippians 4, 6, this thing, and you begin to pray about it, and you go, I can't believe I'm doing it, and just get riled up, and all of a sudden you're off in left field, and you're doing something, you're going, what am I doing over here? Oh, yeah, I was praying. That's right, okay. This is finishing school. I'm just saying, if you're going to go into Philippians 4, 6, there's a tremendous blessing here, but you're going to realize that God loves you here, and He's going to work with you. And you got to realize, and as you're coming from over here again, you're saying, okay, Lord, you know me, you know what triggers me, you know those different little things. Help me to divide asunder my soul and my spirit. I want to see it coming next time. Lord, help me to be good at this. Help me to be more aware. The Bible says the strong meat belongs to the mature, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And you begin to find out in prayer that God has different ways of praying different things. He has different flows. And you have to, no matter how you've been used, you come and follow the guidelines for how He has you doing different things. Well, that's why it says humble yourself, right? So you're going to humble yourself as you come into prayer first and foremost and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do here? How do I need to do it? It's kind of like, I've used this example before just as far as like you could golf with just one club in your bag. Technically, you could, right? It would be clunky. You could kind of kerchunk it down the green, but you could do it. And that's kind of the where I was, you know, here. I mean, I'm like literally sitting about 5 feet off the green, and the Lord's going, boy, Ed, you really like that driver, don't you? I'm going, yeah, I love the driver. He says, you know what? I created a special club just for that kind of a situation that takes a lot less effort and is more precise than what your driver is going to be here. And a lot of times, that's kind of the way it is in prayer. And the captain of your salvation, your Jedi master, the captain of your salvation is teaching you how to use the sword of the Spirit. And sometimes you're going to swing big, and sometimes you're going to swing precise. But He'll show you how to do that in the finishing school of prayer. So as we're talking about this, and as much as we have in a 40-minute Sunday morning exhortation, you need to understand there are some good, strong guidelines in prayer in terms of letting your requests be made known unto God, getting what's in your heart out, but there is also a growing up spiritually process in this that you're going to grow. And you don't have to feel like, again, pass-fail. It's not pass-fail. It's child of God, Heavenly Father who loves you, and who's going to work with you. But don't get discouraged. Like I said, if you find yourself running off there, you know, because you got stirred up yourself as you were letting something be made known to God, it's okay. Just come back there. You keep pitching, you know. Just get back in the game and just realize that God's with you. He loves you. He's for you. And this is part of just growing up and realizing that, okay, here we go again, Lord. Help me. Help me. Fill me with the knowledge of your will in this situation. And sometimes this is where you're learning as you are. What the scripture says, be angry and sin not. You get to know yourself in this place of prayer. And when you begin to sense some things riled up, and it's like, okay, no, that's not it. That's not God. Father, this is as far as I know to take this thing. And I'm not going to have to overanalyze every possibility and hypothetical and every tentacle that's involved in this thing. This is what I got. This is what I know. And I'm casting this care over on you. Give me the mind of your Spirit in this matter. Lead me. Guide me by your Spirit. And he will. You know, I heard it. This is the way it'll happen sometimes. You'll get that care, and you lift it up to the Lord. And he's got that wisdom that's from above that comes down from the Father of lights. And you get another iteration of it. You go, okay, cool. All right, I see this. And sometimes you know more perfectly how to pray from the wisdom that you get. And you're going to lift it back up. And you'll wait, and you'll get some stuff down. So sometimes there will be process in this as well, too, where you lift it. But it's not like, it's not a rehashing of the same thing in the sense that I'm not listening or expecting. So if I got a relationship situation and I'm saying, Lord, I just lift that situation up. You're coming over here. The enemy plays on your mind. Wars against the law of mind. Hypothetical. This could happen. I bet they're thinking this. And you say, nope. I cast that care over on the Lord. Lord, I know I've prayed already for your wisdom. And I thank you that when you speak to me, it's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And that's what he said. When he speaks in that situation, it's going to be something that you have ears to hear. So we're going to be getting into that next week, though, as far as letting the peace of God rule. But it's important that as we're here over in this spot, we're just simply casting that care over on the Lord. I'm casting that care over on the Lord over here, knowing I got a battle out ahead of me. I got that. But I'm not going to get out ahead of myself either. I'm just casting the care on the Lord over here, all right? That's a sandwich. The peace that passes my understanding is standing between both, the casting my care and letting that peace rule. What I'm doing here in terms of casting my care is I'm just going to say, all right, Lord, here it is. I'm casting that care over on you. I don't have to overanalyze it. I'm going to take what I know about it in general. And you know what? You're going to get better and better and better at this as you just continue to work with this and you learn yourself. And this is where you'll also begin to experience change too. But the final thing, final aspect of this is, because like I said, I was always kind of looking for a landing spot in prayer of personal supplication. And the Lord just showed me, you've got a landing spot in prayer. It's not one that you have to look for. It's one that you make yourself. This is faith, all right? This is you don't fully understand everything, and yet you're rejoicing in faith. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encountered trials of any sort or fall into any various temptations. So we see that charge, that James 1 charge, count it all joy when. We see the Apostle Peter, or Paul, you know, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, be anxious for nothing. We see that, and he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So I've prayed, I've supplicated, and now there's a thanksgiving. The thanksgiving is the punctuation mark at the end of casting my cares in the Lord. There's a by faith rejoicing. You know, again, it's kind of a nuanced distinction. You do want to get what's in your heart out, but you're not looking for this perpetual landing place in prayer. If I got what's in my heart out, at some point I got to say, okay, I'm not going to understand everything here. I got to get out of the kitchen, ultimately, to get know what I need to know. But at this point, I need to be able to say, praise God. You've heard me. I'm rejoicing in you, Lord. That's an act of faith right there. Think about that. You still don't understand, and you're rejoicing. You still don't understand, and you're giving thanks. This is an act of faith. It's really like the underscore of casting your cares in the Lord. In other words, you're saying, I've done it, Lord. You've got them. I'm rejoicing because they are in your hands. Again, you're not rejoicing because you feel giddy. You're rejoicing by faith because you know that you got what was in your heart out. There's still stuff you don't understand, but it's in his hands. And he's going to show you what you need to know when you need to know it. And so that's the important distinction here, that there is a joyfulness. And I just want to bring out a few different things. If you're having a hard time talking yourself into rejoicing after you've cast your cares in the Lord, here's a couple guidelines I like to keep in mind. This is the Apostle Paul in, I think it was his second or third missionary journey. The mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. The city officials ordered them stripped, beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten. Then they were thrown into the prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now you think about a situation here, the Apostle Paul. He responded to a Macedonian vision to come here to preach. He got whipped, beaten, and thrown in jail. Now he was certainly experiencing some anxiety, physical anxiety, maybe spiritual perplexity. But you know what? This is what he did. He began to praise God and sing hymns and praises to God. Because here's the thing. When we're talking about casting your cares in the Lord, and I don't care what form of care it takes, there's a common denominator in these cares that we're casting on the Lord. Those cares are saying something. Where is your God? Why did he let this happen? Can you really trust him? Is that word really true? There's an underlying accusation in these cares that are trying to get you to undermine your faith in God. That's why there is an exclamation mark punctuation at the end of casting our cares of thanksgiving and rejoicing. I mean, if anybody had a theological cause to do that, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But what does he do at midnight? He is rejoicing in the Lord. It's like he's taking a stand for his God. My God does care for me. My rejoicing isn't just to make my emotions feel better. I'm declaring I believe God. I trust him. God is the good guy. God is not going to be framed as the evil guy or the bad guy or undermine my faith. This is not a trial of your emotions. It's a trial of your faith. It's a trial of what you believe about God. That's where you're counting it all joy. Do you still believe? Do you still believe? It's a trial of your faith. He doesn't care how you feel. He'll make you feel happy or sad or good. He cares about what you believe. Because when you believe something, that gets into his kingdom. That's where we got to see the big picture here. This is a trial of your faith. And the Apostle Paul, right there in the midnight hour, says, God is still God, and I'm rejoicing. He is good, and he's worthy. Praise God. Satan could not undermine God to Paul, even in that most interesting situation. If there was anybody who could say, why God? It would be Paul right there. And instead, he is rejoicing. He's doing what he told us to do in Philippians 4:4, 5, and 6. He is rejoicing in the Lord. And we know the rest of the story. The jail was shaken, and the prisoner's chains fell off, and he ended up getting the jailer and his whole family saved. So praise God. But there's one thing to keep in mind, that care is going after your faith. And so there is a value in rejoicing that it's affirming that God loves me. Even though there's things I don't understand, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? There is that stand. It's like you're standing up for God in prayer. You're standing up for God in praise. I trust my God. I'm not letting go of him. And that releases faith. Faith that shook a prison and faith that will shake and stir us up as well too. And then finally, they sang into this revelation, a new song saying, you're worthy of the scroll to open its seals. You were slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Why can I just praise God when I'm not feeling it at all? Simply because he's worthy. He's worthy regardless of my situation. He's still worthy. No matter who's done what to me, it can't undo what he did for me 2,000 years ago. There's nothing that care can do in terms of separating me from his love. Can't do it. He's worthy of my praise. There's a stirring ourselves up to where we change the subject to what we don't know to just begin to worship God. Powerful way that we get our minds set on things above that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. It kind of segues into next week, but what are we doing? We're getting our mind, we're getting full of life and peace as we begin to worship God. So we realize then, in terms of casting our cares, the first thing that we need to realize is that God wants our cares. He wants them. I mean, you can see emphatic throughout the scriptures in so many different ways. I think we brought this out last Christmas. One of the best Christmas gifts you can give to God is your care. It may be a care to you, but it's a gift to him. It's a gift of your trust. You're placing this in my hands. You know how that is? When you place someone or something that's precious into the hands of another person, that's a sacred trust. You know, you take that seriously. And when you take something that God knows has been on your mind and you put that in his hands, he knows what you're giving. He knows that sacrifice. He knows that sacred trust that you're putting in his hands. That's sacred. That's special. He wants those. He desires those. He loves to be able to carry those for us, getting what's in our heart out. Again, there's going to be a few different aspects to that. Man, the big way is that we get what's in our heart out. We cast those cares by kind of praying casting. We begin to pray about that situation. We begin to ask for God's wisdom, the mind of His Spirit in this matter, to know and to understand what it is. Again, I'm not having to overanalyze it. All I'm doing is I'm assessing it and I'm casting it. The same way, again, like we said about the confession of sin, you're getting the gist of something, you're casting it, and then you're getting out of the kitchen. There may be some different adjustments that you're making along the way. God's going to be doing this as a finishing school. This is going to be a thing where you and Him get something going, and you and Him have a vibe between you, and you know in the sense of casting your cares, you begin to develop something with Him. It's a relationship. You begin to learn how to use some of the other clubs that are in your bag as far as just communicating, getting some things out. And again, like I said too, this is a personal supplication prayer of casting your cares in the Lord. So when it comes to that dimension of prayer, it is designed to be a light yoke. It's designed to be simple. It's designed to get what's in your heart out, and then for you to be able to get your mind on things above and hear what God has to say about it. And then finally, there's a rejoicing in faith. That's really our exclamation mark after we've cast the care. We're saying, yep, I've cast the care, and I believe God. I believe I will have the wisdom that I have prayed for. I'm rejoicing that He is faithful. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally, and it will not be withheld. I'm rejoicing that the wisdom that I need will not be withheld. I'm rejoicing in that promise of God. I'm rejoicing in Him because He is faithful. So there's a declaration of your faith in the face of the enemy regarding those underlying cares. So casting your cares in the Lord, again, I wish I could say some hard three things. There are some guidelines, but some of the stuff you're going to get just between you and Him. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning just for the privilege of being able to cast our cares over on You. We're so grateful that You want them. We're so thankful that You desire those things that are weighing us down. All who labor and are heavy laden, You say come. You say come boldly to the throne of grace, that You can obtain mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Your Spirit that just says, I am here. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You want my cares. Help me to cast them upon You, to trust You with them. I know that I'm going to Your finishing school. I'm not going to get it right all the time, but I'm going to grow and I'm going to learn and I'm going to develop in prayer, ears to hear. I won't give up. I'll cast these cares and trust You with them. And I'll rejoice because You are for me, and You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.